Father, we praise you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, as we have over all these years now on the shoebox, the Christmas shoebox dedication, Lord. I'm so thankful for Paul, the people that make all this happen, those that have given and delicately with all their heart, Lord. I know they've packed these things and put special things in them. And Lord, we dedicate them to you knowing that wherever they go in this world, they're going to end up in the exact right hands of that little boy or that little girl, and it's going to change their life. Oh God, that's our prayer. And may the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, travel with them as we dedicate these boxes to you, Father. Dedicate them to these children. Lord, every hand that it's held by, save them. Save them and help them. And if they're ill, heal them. Bless their families. Bless them, oh Lord, in all parts of the world. We're so thankful for them. And Lord, we thank you for this day, this Thanksgiving week, the holiday season now upon us. Lord, any of our people that are traveling, Lord, whether by car, by air, or however, Lord, we pray that for a safe journey to be with their families and a safe journey back home as well. And may their homes be full of your peace and your love, O Lord. And Father, help me this morning as we pray for those who are in need here that are ill, Danny and all the rest of them, Lord, and just touching their bodies. And Lord, helping me now to teach your word, this Thanksgiving sermon, O God, saying the things you would have me to say. We love you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. We're going to be in two places this morning. We're going to be on our Thanksgiving sermon. We're going to be in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. And then we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses in that area. And, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, why do we do a Thanksgiving sermon? Because, you know, normally I'm in Acts right now. And why do I do that? I mean, what's the purpose behind all that? And, you know, it's like this. If there's anything that a believer needs to be reminded of, it's certainly to be thankful. Amen? And you know, we're thankful to the Lord. We want to be a thankful people. Thanksgiving, yes, it's a national holiday and all of that that's celebrated by our nation, a nation for giving thanks, but it's also this giving of thanks is for giving thanks unto God. That's what it's really, really about. So now that the holiday season, I can't believe it's going to be Thanksgiving next week. It's just unbelievable to me. That means it's 33 days until Christmas. Ho, 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 you know. And it also means that 2015, the year of divine determination, is going to be closing out. Not that his divine determination has stopped in any way, but thank God that if we ever needed his divine determination, I believe that 2015 has certainly been that year. And thank God that he gives us a word. And I'm not praying. I have not been praying about the New Year's word. I'm almost fearful to do that, if you don't mind. And maybe the Lord will surprise us. But I do pray that your home is filled this Thanksgiving, you know, with peace, and your hearts are just overflowing to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the home is such a special place at Thanksgiving. You know, the Bible says a lot about feasting and so forth and celebrating. It tells us in Proverbs 15:17, it says, better is a dinner of herbs, or literally vegetables, where love is. I love that. Love never fails. Where love is, than a fatted calf with hatred. Man, when you have a home that is filled with love, it's like a banquet, amen? It's a wonderful thing. The Bible also tells us in Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel, like just a piece of dry toasted bread without butter, yuck. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. Someone said this, enough is a feast. That's right, enough. Well, we need to be thankful for what we do have. Not what we don't have, but what we have right this minute. Listen, Thanksgiving to a believer, it should be. I pray that it is. It's not a holiday. Thanksgiving to a believer is something that we do every day of our lives. Thanking the Lord for all of his blessings, all of his goodness, all of his mercy. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, meaning in this life, whatever you do in word, whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever you do in deed, all the things that your action, the things that you do in this life, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks. You know, did you know that giving thanks is a verb? It's action upon our part. It's something that we do. It's something that we need to do and be thankful. You know, when I was there at the orphanage this Sunday, or this whatever day it is. Is it Sunday? This week has just gone by. It's like a race car, man. And, you know, there as I was looking inside and talking with everyone, and I look at their clothes. You know, they don't have a closet. You know, sometimes some of you, and I'm not beating you up for this, it'd be wonderful. I wish I had a big one of those. You know how you walk into them? Man. You know, and like sometimes you can even open the door and the lights just automatically come on. I don't have any of that. I still have the pull thing. You know what I mean? I do. It's the truth. And if you can't walk into my closet, if you do, you will die. Because there's no room, no air, nothing, nothing. And but some of these closets we have today, man, you walk in, you could put a car in them. You can sit down, put your shoes on, your tie, they got a mirror and everything. That's cool. But these kids, there was not any closets. None. There was just a little thing by their bed, and there was just a few pieces of clothing. That's it. Well, we need to help them. They need to have a good Christmas. You know, now, Bill, are you going to talk about giving? No, I'm just, the Lord moved me to say that to you, okay? Grab an envelope. I'll be at Titus in just a moment. Hebrews 13:14. For here on this earth we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually, not just once in a while, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, and that our fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks to him for all that we have, all that we're doing. Not just daily. Man, we should be doing it hourly. Amen? Oh, it says in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. When is the last time you just, you know, started singing to the Lord on your own? You know, just and magnifying his name. All that is, he's the God of all comfort, the God of all mercy, the God of all peace, the God of all hope. Amen? He's all those things. God is our righteousness. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. You know why we should be the most thankful people on this planet? I'll give it to you right here. One special scripture. I pray you never forget it, even though you know it. But I mean that it's embedded in your heart this morning. And that's that. That's Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible. Say that. Impossible. Did you hear that? Impossible. I mean, it's impossible for God, that's our Father, to lie. That's why I'm thankful. I am so thankful for that. He has no capacity to lie. Oh, even Jesus, what did Jesus say about God's word? He said in John 17:7, he said, oh God, thy word, your word is truth. Perfect truth. Infallible proof. That means something, loved one. It means that all that God has promised in his word is absolutely true. You hear me? It means also everything that God has spoken in his word, that God breathed text, in everything he said about you is absolutely true. You are God's good work. He will complete it. He will get you home. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never relax his hold upon you. Everything he said, you know, you're the apple of his eye. What you will, every word that he spoke about you, you are the salt. You are the light of this world. You are that city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hid. Everything that God says is true. The question is, do you believe it? Because I'll tell you something. I love you with all my heart, but guys, listen. You know what? If you don't believe, or if you say to yourself, you know, well, the promises of God, I believe them. I have them on my refrigerator, or, you know, I have them on my screensaver. They come across and all the rest of it. But, you know, if you don't believe that they're all true, then they'll have no value for you. Do you understand? You have to believe that God cannot lie. He can't lie. He cannot lie. He's incapable of lying. Do you understand that? Don't let that just, oh, I know that. No, get it, not doctrine, get it into your heart. We know when I was in Mexico there, you know, I had a Pastor Luna. He speaks no English and I speak no Spanish, so he drew pictures and so did I. No, I had my old-time interpreter that I've used for years. He was with me, and I was Juan Carlos Garza. So Juan Carlos, if you're listening right now, I love you and thank you. We had a wonderful time together, but you know, after about 3 or 4 hours, you know, it's all Spanish, and like I told the first service, I said, all of a sudden, I felt like I understood everything that was being said. And then I thought, I wonder if I'm getting ready to just start speaking Spanish. You know, amigo, you know, or something. I mean, I was getting excited, but it didn't happen, okay? And so Pastor Luna was talking, we're at the orphanage, you know, he was talking about how God will never lie, his word never lies. I mean, God will always be there. I said, yes, that's right, Pastor. And he was telling me about one time a couple of years back, you know, he said, I just left the orphanage. I get a phone call on my cell phone. I was crossing back over the border, and one of the workers said, Pastor Luna, there's a man here from the electrical company. He's going to turn off the electricity to the orphanage. He said, we haven't paid our bill. He said, listen, just tell him, give me one more day. Let me pray, give me one more day, and then we'll have the money. It was $1,800. And so to make a long story short, she told him that, and he said, no, I have to turn off the power. I'm so sorry, but I have to turn it off. So Pastor Luna was praying there in his car, and all of a sudden, there was an automobile that pulled up in the front of the orphanage. That's where the electrical company people were. And they talked for a few minutes, and then they left and left the power on. So the secretary or the worker called Pastor Luna and said, they didn't turn the power off. And he said, well, who was in the car? And they said, I don't know who was in the car. You don't know who was there? No, they just drove off together. Well, the next day he goes down to the electrical company, and whoever was in that car had no idea. He completely paid the bill right there. You see, God is a supernatural God. He's a God that's always, he loves the widow. He loves the orphan. He's a father to the fatherless. Amen? Now, are you at Titus chapter 1? Now let's look at this, our God that cannot lie, for this Thanksgiving sermon here. Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. That's not talking about our faith. It's talking about the faith, meaning the word of God, the living word of God, and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, or that goes with a godly lifestyle. And watch this now, in hope of, or literally resting upon, what? In hope of eternal life, everlasting life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. You know why we should be the most thankful people? Listen, everlasting life, if you are born again, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you've confessed him with your mouth and believed upon him in your heart, you know what? You have everlasting life, and there's no one that can take it away from you. It is a ever-present possession, meaning that you have it right this minute, meaning you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever, and may I add, one and have a perfect body. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? You won't have this stuff like I have right now that you gave me. Do you understand? No. Your nose, you know, won't be pouring. Isn't that gross? Oh, man, if I had a Kleenex right now, I'd gross everybody up, but I'm not going to do that. Oh, listen. No, we're not hoping for eternal life. We have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish. Perish. That's a bad word. But have everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death over into life. Amen. Jesus told Mary and Martha in John 11:26, he said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Think about that. If you believe in Jesus, if you've asked him to come and be in your heart, listen, if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you will never, ever die. Oh yeah, this body is going to, but no, you're going home, man. Listen, and Jesus said to Mary, he said, thou believest this? That's King James. I don't know why I did that. Do you believe this? And the question, they say, yeah, Lord, we do. Okay, the question he's asking you, do you believe it? See, there are Christians, I talk to them all the time, and they go, well, I hope so. What? How can you give God thanks for a hope so? That doesn't work. I hope I'm saved. I hope that I have eternal life. God never lies. When you come to him and ask him into your heart, he doesn't go, I don't want you. Look at you. You're a mess. I can't handle you. No. He said, yeah, come on. Give me. I want everybody. I want the whole world. I want all of them. I want everyone. I died for everyone. Jesus wants us all. He says, do you believe this? You know why I can give thanks to God? Why you can give thanks to God right now, every day, every hour, if you so choose? Because it is certain that we have been given everlasting life. Why? Because God cannot lie. Amen? That is such a glorious scripture to me. He cannot lie. He's not the father of lies. That's the devil. Our Lord, our Savior, our great God is the Father of all truth. And I'm so thankful. And it also says there, look at it. He promised before time began. Isn't that amazing? He did all of that and didn't ask the church to vote. Think about that. He didn't call on the Republicans or the Democrats. Do you understand? No, he did it before time began. He did it in eternity. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Listen, everything, the reason we can give thanks is because everything in that God has said in his word is true, and everything that God has said in his word about you is true as well. You are the light, as I said a moment ago. You do have eternal life. You are an overcomer. Do you understand? You are clothed with the armor of God if you're taking up and doing what God says in this world. Listen, heaven is real and heaven is your home. Amen. And hell is real. Yes. And you know what else is true? Judgment is coming. Jesus is coming. Maybe the rapture may occur today, and then at the end of the tribulation, it's going to be the judgment of God. Listen. The psalmist cries out and he says, oh, the judge is coming. I hear a lot of Christians say, the Lord is coming. But very seldom do you ever say, the judge is coming. The book of James says, behold, the Lord, the judge, he standeth at the door. Now, whenever somebody's standing at the door, that means it's about ready to open the door. Do you understand? That's how close we are right now. We're so close. We don't know if it's going to be today. We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. But I do know this. We have the time and the ability and to say, Lord, I'm thankful. I give thanks unto you, and I love you. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is good. That's why you hear me. For over 30 years, every time I've entered the pulpit, I've always said, God is good. That's just because God is good. He doeth good. Everything that God does is good. There is none that doeth good, the Bible says in Romans, none that doeth good, but boy, God does. It says that his mercy then in the same Chronicles, I remember, his mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, we need his mercy. His mercies are new each and every morning, amen? We should be the most thankful people, thankful. You know why? Because God cannot lie. Now listen very carefully. If God broke one promise in the Word of God, one promise, Christianity would completely collapse. Because God cannot lie. See, when you read the Word, you're reading the truth. God doesn't lie. His Word is truth. It's going to outlast everyone. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Peter said, the word of God endureth forever and ever and ever. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, man, just one promise. See, if God's word is not true, that means that 1 John 1:9 is a lie. What is 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, amen, he is two things. God is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. That means to put our sins away, take them away forever, and cleanse us from all, that is all, not just some, but all unrighteousness. Listen, if the word of God, if that's not true, if that's a lie, God is not faithful, God is not just, and we are doomed. It means that Romans 8:1 is a lie. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It means, if do you understand me? But since God cannot lie, it means they're all true. We have been cleansed from our sin. They're as far as the east is from the west. Amen? Listen, if you go study your Bibles and you'll find out that when God punished anyone in the Bible, they were guilty. God never punished anyone that was innocent in the Bible. Amen? That's right. But boy, if you were guilty, you know what? You got it. And you know, I'm guilty. You're guilty. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We deserve to be punished. But you know what? God, our Father, did, the God who is faithful, the God who is just, he punished an innocent man who knew no sin and became sin for you, for me, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, God's word, I am so thankful because God cannot lie. He is, everything he says is true. And some of you may be saying, well, you don't understand, Bill, this has been a hard year. Yes, it has been a hard year. You know, I agree with you. It has been. And you know, God promised to take care of me and my needs and all the rest of it. But the fact of the matter is that it just didn't really happen, if you know what I mean. And I would say to you, as I hear that all the time with Christians, they come in and we're in counseling and so forth, and they say, you know, Bill, God's not meeting my needs. And he promised to meet my needs. Philippians 4, 19, right? 18, wherever it is. Which one? Come through, right, I see. I just will check you out. Yeah, listen. Matter of fact, let's turn there. Turn there with me, and let's look at that. Let's go to chapter 4 of Philippians. Great, great epistle. Look at this now. Verse 19. My God, Paul says, my God shall supply, not my sweat, not my ability, not my intelligence. My God shall supply, not every wish. My God shall supply all your what? Need according to the riches and glory. Oh, that is a huge treasure chest. In or by Christ Jesus. Now, so people come into my office and say, Bill, look at, I've got this and God's not supplying. I say, okay, let me ask you a question. You know that text by heart. You have it on your refrigerator. You've got it tattooed on your arm. You know what I mean. I need your humor today, believe me. And I say to them, listen, you need to understand don't isolate one text unless you understand what that text refers to, because you get in trouble. And then you're going to start blaming God for something. He says, come on. There's many, many scriptures in the Bible that tells God's going to take care of us. Amen? Okay, but we always simply isolate this one because, you know, it just seems better, okay? And so forth than the rest of them. Well, you know, to know the text, you always must understand the context of which it is written in, amen? So let's go back to verse 14 and let's see if we can make some sense out of this. And that way we won't blame God if our needs aren't being met in this particular, off of this particular scripture. Look at verse 14. Paul says, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You helped me out. Thank you so much. You're a partaker in what I've been going through. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, can you believe that? No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. I'm not hunting for a gift. Not that I seek the gift, but look what Paul is seeking. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. In other words, Paul says, I seek a profit for you. He says here, indeed, I have an all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul says, your giving to me, Paul says, was a sacrifice to God himself. Now listen to me. If we divorce or if we remove verse 19 from the verses I just read, we get in trouble. Because Paul is talking about people who have given. He's not talking to people who have not given. Amen? See, he's talking about people who really give. In other words, to support and help. Listen, you, God will never owe you or me a thing. Never. No, you can't outgive God. No, the Bible is so clear. God blesses the giver. That's just the way it is. That's the way he set it up. I didn't set it up that way. I know there are people today that beg for money from the pulpit. We don't do that here. Not until next week. But no, we've never done that. No, what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 or 7, right in that area? It says that God loves a cheerful giver. That means, the word cheerful means hilarious. It means happy to give. It doesn't mean when you put the check down in that offering basket, the offering basket has to pry it out of your hand. No, it means you want to do those things. Like when you leave today with that envelope for a Carmargo. I'm going to be handing them out because the doors are going to be locked. Oh, you know, I'm teasing. You know that, don't you? No. Well, listen. No. Whenever you help, what does God say in his word? Like the foundational scripture of Ellen and I, Proverbs 19:17. He who hath pity on the poor. Pity. Not the emotion, but he wants to do something about it. He who hath pity upon the poor. Listen to this now. Lendeth unto God. It's a loan. You're going to loan God something. And God says, thank you for loaning it to me. And here's what he said to do. And I'll pay you back. You see, that's the way God is. God is the ultimate giver, isn't he? Yes. For God so loved, he gave. Oh, listen. No, the Bible, what is Jesus said in Luke 6:38? It says, give. Is that right? What's the next word? Give. How does it start out, Luke 6:38? No. Oh, that's it. Give, and it shall be. That's what happened, man. I've got 450 Sudafeds trying to in my nose right now. Trying to, you understand? Whew. This is a good day. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. Now, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will give and give into your bosom, and with the same measure that you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. That's a promise from God. It's not a lie. Oh, you know, I think about that. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 9, 6? It tells us, he who sows sparingly will reap abundantly. Sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Now listen to me. Either God's word is true, because God cannot lie, or that's a lie. That is a horrible lie, a terrible lie. You see, I am so thankful. Because I know with all of my heart that God cannot lie and that what God says in his word is true. Amen. Look at chapter 4 of Philippians and look at verse 6, this incredible promise that we should be able to give God praise and thanks for all the days of our life. You know this scripture. I know you know it by heart. Look at it. Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Now, I know you know that. The word anxious, we get our English word worry, our anxiety, to be torn apart, pulled in different directions, if you will. So Paul says, listen now, be anxious for absolutely nothing, not one thing. Think about that. Not one thing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry at all. You know, when I was at Carmargo this week, the Pastor Lunas was talking to me about the children. He says, I teach the children that God will always help them, but they have to go to God. They have to go and pray to the Lord. You know what I mean? Themselves. And they call him Uncle, Tio, I think in Spanish. I'm not for sure, but whatever. And he said, you know, you go tell the Lord. Tell the Lord what you need. So they were having a fiesta. And I'm not sure what a fiesta is, but evidently it's a lot of food, okay? And so the little girls came up to him and said, Uncle said, listen, we're having a fiesta, and this is a great food banquet. He said, but we don't have any cake. And he said, well, but we have still all this food. They said, you can't have a fiesta if you don't have cake. And so Pastor Lou said, get down in your knees. Y'all, and if you want cake, I don't have any cake, but your Heavenly Father knows your needs. If and go to him and tell him. It's the truth. Now listen. They went in there, got down on their knees, and they started giving thanks to God. It says, what does it say here? Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, say that, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. They're down on their knees and they're going, oh, Father, may we have a cake for our fiesta. All of a sudden, a car pulled in front of the orphanage. A woman got out, came to the door and said, listen, said, this is probably crazy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but she said, you know, I was on my way to the wedding. I cannot make the wedding. They've moved it up at a different time, and I have three cakes in the back seat of my car. Would you think you'd even want them or like them? You know, so they got up off their knees and they had a fiesta. You know what I'm saying? Listen, God is so faithful. He's the God who cannot lie. He said, through Paul, he said, don't you worry about one thing. Your heavenly Father, we can give him thanks because he knows what you need, when you need it, and when to make sure it's supplied to you. Amen? He knows everything. We don't have to worry. Don't worry about anything. Jesus said, listen, by worrying, can you add 1 cubit or 18 inches to your height? Well, no, you can't. If you can't do that which is least, then why worry? What did Jesus tell us? He said, don't worry about your life. He didn't say don't plan about your life. He didn't say don't care about your life. He said don't worry about it. And then he gives us, the birds of the air and then the flowers and all of that. He said, if God so clothed the grass of the field, you know, when the summer comes and it's burned, how much more will God clothe you, O ye of little faith? No, God knows all that we need. What did Jesus tell us to do? Well, the same thing Paul is telling us to do. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rule, the reign of God, the kingdom of God, and all these things, all the things that we worry about day in and day out. God says, oh no, you see, and all these things shall be added unto you. Added unto you, not taken away from you. I say, oh God, you're so good. And some of you may say, well, you know, this being anxious for nothing, Bill, you know, Paul wasn't living in the real world. No, Paul was living in the supernatural world, the here-ness and the now-ness of God. He believed the Lord and he practiced exactly what God told him. Listen, with thanksgiving means when we pray with thanksgiving. If I come up and if you gave me $100, I'm not asking it for any money. But if you did, what would I say to you? Garrett goes, I don't really know, Bill. But you know, I'm a loser. I don't know. No. I say thank you. Well, see, God says, when you come and make a request for me, whether it's supplication, that means urgent request, or prayer, that worshipful time, oh God, just my needs, whatever it is. And we do it with thanksgiving. We're saying, I know you're going to take care of it. That's why I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to worry about it because my God supplies all of my needs. Amen? He takes care of me and I can go to him and I can offer him up that prayer of thanksgiving because I have a God that does not lie and cannot lie. You see, God doesn't go, whenever we ask him for something, let your request be known unto God. He doesn't go, ooh, that is a tough one. Man, did you hear what this guy down in Texas just asked for? Well, they have big prayers down there, don't they? Well, the big state. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, now that's going to be a little difficult. No, or hard. God doesn't even think or talk like that. That's not even his language. Nothing is impossible for God. Absolutely nothing. That's why we should be the most thankful people on this planet. When we start that prayer, the petition, the supplication with thanksgiving, I know you're going to take care of it. I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm not going to be anxious because you told me I don't have to be. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be torn apart. I don't have to be pulled in all these directions. I don't have to be because I belong to you and your word is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? Listen, it's the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth will not put you in bondage, loved one. The truth will what? Set. Amen. It'll set you free. Listen, that's what you want. Let me back up on that. It's the truth that you know, yes, but apply. That'll set you free. See, you're already free, but you have to apply and do what God says in his word. God doesn't want us torn apart. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through in our life, we can just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I'm thankful I can go to the throne of grace every day, 24 hours. I can go anytime. There's a place where I find grace and help and mercy in time of need. And I can go there by virtue of my relationship with Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. Amen. When you go there to that throne of grace, you find what you need. Have you ever just said, Lord, I thank you for your power? You know, the Bible tells us, remember that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power, the dunamis, the Holy Spirit, the power of another that works in us. The Bible tells us that we should praise the power of God. Psalm 21:13 says, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Oh, God can do anything. See, there's not anything God can't do. Man, our government, well, I'm not going to say anything here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. Let your request be known to whom? You mean not everyone in the church? There is a time for that. But you know what happens? When we go and tell everybody else what we need before we go tell our Heavenly Father, we are dishonoring God. We're dishonoring God. You go to God first. You go to your Father first, okay? That's right. Why? Well, he doesn't want you torn apart. What does 1 Peter 5:7 teach us? He says this, cast all of your burden, cast all of your anxiety off to the Lord. Why? He cares for you. God cares for you. The Bible says that the Lord will help you. He knows everything that you need. I'm so thankful that we can do those things. Now look what happens here, that if we, when we give thanks to the Lord in this prayer, look at the promise now. If when we do verse 6, when we do exactly what verse 6 says, look at the incredible what God's going to do in verse 7. And it says, and the peace of God, that's the peace that he possesses, the peace of God, which surpasses, watch this now, all understanding. Boy, that's a deep, you could teach that, couldn't you? It goes past all understanding. All of the knowledge in the world can't even figure it out. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, look what it will do. It will guard two areas of your life. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen. The word guard there in the Greek literally means to set like a military arsenal around those two areas, your heart and your mind. I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me one thing that can disturb God's peace. Nothing. Nothing. Here I am, I'm going through all of this, and God says, wait a minute, you've prayed with thanksgiving, you know I'm going to help you. You know, I heard your petition. I know you don't have to be anxious. Why? Because I am setting myself up right now to guard the two areas of your life. I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to guard your mind because those are the two areas that the enemy wants to attack. Amen? That's when those words start coming in your mind. You hear them. You're not saved. God doesn't love you. He's not going to help you this time. You're not going to make it. Your marriage is going to fail. You're going to be laid off. You're going to go under. That, listen, you won't find any of that in the Word of God. If you want to fail, you can fail, but God will never fail you. You understand? No, God's word is truth. That's why we can give him praise and thanks all the days of our life. No, God says, listen, I'm going to put my peace in those areas of your life. And you know what? Who it is? It's Jesus. Ephesians 2:14, he himself, meaning our Lord, he himself is our peace. We have the peace that passes all understanding. So whenever we pray that prayer with that thanksgiving in our heart, it protects the mental and the emotional areas of our life. What can be better than God standing guard around your heart? Don't you mess with my daughter. Don't you mess with my son. Don't you mess with his heart. Don't you mess with his mind. You know, thoughts can hurt, produce fear, guilt, everything in the world. You can't see a thought, but you can certainly feel a thought, can't you? What does the Bible teach us to do with those thoughts that are lies that go against God's truth? Especially the ones that say, you're not going to make it. You're never going to make it. You're just a loser. No, listen, God has no losers. Amen? No, they're all winners because they're in Christ. We've overcome the world. No, he says, listen, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, he says to us, he says, the weapons of our warfare, we have a war going on, okay? The weapons of our warfare are not our great intellect. They're not our great ability. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not from the flesh. They're not of this world. Do you understand? Oh, but what are they? He says, but boy, they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here it is, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? Here comes that thought. You know, you're trying to mess with my mind and God is guarding your mind. And all of a sudden you go, you're not going to make me anxious. I don't have to be anxious because I'm not going to be anxious for nothing. That is a lie. So what do you do with that thought? Do what the Bible says. You literally take that lie and you put it in prison. Say, you try to put me in prison? I'm putting you in prison. I'm trusting and believing my Father who cannot lie. I know what he says about me, but that is a lie. I'll not receive it or build my life upon it. Listen, but it's very important that as we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that God's going to help us, especially in this text right here, again, we don't want to read into this text something that it doesn't say. See, this text that we're reading right now about our prayers with thanksgiving, it does not say that God is going to banish all of the circumstances and that's why you're going to have peace, does it? No, that's very important. It means, though, while you are going through that circumstance, whatever it might be, you don't have to be anxious. Why? Because the peace of God that passes all understanding is enveloping you. And there you can walk through it. You can say, whoa, that's a tough looking circumstance, but I'm not trembling. I'm not shaking because I have the word of God. Listen, when Paul penned that, where was Paul at? He was in prison. He was chained to a guard 24/7. He penned that there. You know, I bet he was going, give me some slack for that chain, would you? You know, be anxious, fall on nothing, man. You know, do you understand? No, I know he didn't probably do that. But I would like to think he did. You know, no, Paul, you know, he says, no, I know I can depend on God who cannot lie. That's why Paul penned in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all things. I can do, and the emphasis should be not on I can, but I can do all things through Christ. There's the emphasis, who strengthens me. In the Greek, that's continuous, okay? It means strengthens me every second, every minute, every hour. His continuous strength running into my heart. Listen, we don't have to be afraid. And the text doesn't also say that the thing that we're anxious or was anxious about is not going to happen. It says the prayer with this thanksgiving, it says that the very peace of God is going to keep you. There are times in our life, all of us, you know, that we find ourselves like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There we are in the fiery furnace, you know, because of man, because of people that are against God. And all of a sudden, we're just going through it, man. And then, you know, the story, there they were. Nebuchadnezzar heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. They threw the 3 of them in there, bound and so forth. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and says, did we not throw 3 people in? He said, yes. Well, who's that 4th man? He looks like the Son of Man. You know what? That's right. Amen. You know, listen, God, I'm sorry, guys. Oh, this is horrible, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Oh. You know, what we like about Calvary Chapel? You can just be honest, okay? You know, we come in, people wear flip-flops, and some people blow their nose, and I'm, you know, it's just okay. We're all family here, okay? Listen, no, sometimes we may be like Daniel, there we are, you know, we're in the lion's den. But you know what? God is going to help us. Remember, how about Paul and Silas? I love Acts chapter 16. We'll be getting there soon enough, but you remember what they did at midnight there? They were charged, but they weren't guilty, and they were beaten, and they were placed in the stocks. They put down in the lower part of the dungeon, right where the sewer was. And you know, if you study that really out, to be put in stocks during that time, that means that they spread their legs as far apart as they could and stretched them in the stocks. Then they bent them over a beam, and then they pulled them as tight this way as they could in the stocks. And there they were, Paul and Silas, in the dungeon by the sewer, and it was dark. It was midnight. And guess what they did? Silas turned to Paul and said, "I wish I'd have never started traveling with you. You know, this is horrible. Look at us, beaten bloody. I mean, this is a bad day, Paul. Do you understand?" And Paul goes, "No, Silas, listen. Let's sing a song. Let's sing." Now, we know Silas didn't do that. I would have. But all of a sudden, they break out in singing hymns, giving thanks unto the Lord. Listen, that is a wonderful thing to do. Amen. And let me tell you something. Their pain was real. Their blood was real. That darkness was real. And they were singing and praising and giving thanks unto God at midnight. And you know what it says? It says, "And the prisoners heard them." They're in the darkness. I don't know what they were singing. I would always imagine they were going, you know, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Amen." That's what I'd be singing. "Oh, I know you love me." There you are. Listen, you know, the truth of the matter is that we have one little problem coming to our life today, and we start blaming God. "Oh, God, why am I here? Why did you get me into this mess? Why do you not love me? Don't you care about me?" Listen, we can't be a bunch of whatever I call them. You know what? Listen, I'm trying to make those radio listeners happy. Do you understand? No, we have to say, "Listen, I'm in this mess, that's right, but my God is bigger and he is greater than anything, and no matter how dark the moment or dark the night, he deserves my thanks, he deserves my praises, because I love him and he loves me and he died for me," amen? That's what it's all about. That's why we need to give thanks unto the Lord. And not only that, you know, the thing that we need to learn here tonight, or this morning, this afternoon, next week, whatever it might be, is, did you notice that was their first resort? That's what they did first. "Oh Lord, you know what? That's what I need. I need to learn from Paul. I need to say, oh God, that's what I need to do." See, some of you right now, you're going through maybe something in your life and you're in a painful circumstance and you feel like you've been imprisoned. I tell you that God is faithful. I tell you that we give thanks to him. When you pray to him, say, "Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you because you know my needs. You know when to supply everything that I need. You know when to get me out of this. You know how to get me through it." God is so good. You know, there is a reason in Scripture why God commanded us, he commanded us to give thanks. When we do that, something happens in the supernatural realm. It's almost like we're saying, "You think you can defeat me? My name is not only written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's recorded in heaven, by the way, but I am a co-heir with Christ, and if I have to suffer for him, I will suffer for him. But I'm going to give him praise and I'm going to give him thanks." But there's a reason why that God says in his word, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give." Now listen, it didn't say "for it." You're not giving thanks for the circumstance or the pain and all the rest of it. No. It says, "In it," in the very midst of it, "in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God," that's God's will, "for you in Christ Jesus." That's a command. God says, "I want you, listen, whatever you're going through, I want you to, you know, I want you to start thanking me. Thank me." Why? Because the Bible tells us that all things, not all things are good, but all things are going to work out for your good. God says, listen, you've loved me and you're called according to my purpose. That's Romans 8:28. He says, listen, whatever's happening, it may look like hell right now, but I'm going to turn it into heaven for you. That's exactly what God says. And you know, I believe the word of God, and I'm going to stand on the word of God. I don't believe anything can destroy you. Do you hear me? Now, we can destroy ourselves. Boy, we can open a door for the devil and come in and be kicked all around. But I'll tell you, if we do what God says, it's all going to work out. You know how powerful giving thanks is? Remember there, Paul and Silas, again, they were in the prison, and the prisoners were listening. Do you remember what happened? A great earthquake occurred, and all the prison doors were open. Something happens in the supernatural as we're there giving thanksgiving unto God. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to be thankful. And your peace is going to calm me down. Your peace is going to surround my heart. Your peace is going to surround my mind. I'm going to be at perfect peace. I'm going to be a peace that surpasses all understanding, because it's your peace and you promised it and you cannot lie. And I stand in your truth. Amen. That's what it's all about. No wonder Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:20, he says, giving thanks always, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I know that life is not fair. I know that, you know, we sometimes it looks like our world is falling apart, and like the storm that we're going through is never ever going to end. I understand all those things, and it looks like Satan is winning. Listen, but he's not. No, no, no. When we stand there with thanksgiving in our hearts, when we obey that command, the moment we obey the command, you know, his commandments are enablements, amen? Whenever we say, Lord, you told me, you said in everything, not for everything, but in it, give thanks. Lord, I love you and I'm thankful. I don't like what I'm going through, and I'm not giving thanks for what I'm going through, but I am giving thanks right now. And I know that you're going to help me. And I'm standing now in your perfect will because you commanded me to do so. Listen, we are not the victim. We are the victors because we're in the one who overcame this world. Amen. Now, let's quickly finish this up starting in verse 8 of Philippians 4. Watch this now. Look what Paul says. Finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, things that are lovely or pleasing, whatever things are of a good report, well thought of, if there's any virtue, if there is anything, look at this word, what is it? Praiseworthy. In other words, to give thanks. If there's anything we give thanks for, look what he says to do now with our mind, as the peace of God is surrounding our minds. Meditate on these things. That doesn't mean to just think about them. It means literally think these things. Think them. You know, in other words, you know, that's what is giving thanks would be. And you know what we can say? Is Jesus noble? Is Jesus just? Is Jesus lovely? Well, then let's think upon him. Think upon him. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 26:3, it says, you, meaning God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? It goes on and says, because he trusts in you. Well, I'll tell you, trust in the Lord and be thankful. Look what he says now in verse 9. These things which you learned, received, heard, and saw in me. Look what Paul says to do. These what? Do. And the God of peace will be with you. We have to apply the truth. It's one thing to hear. It's one thing to see it. It's one thing to receive God's word. But if we receive God's word, that word means, receive means to welcome. If we welcome God's word into our heart and we don't act upon God's word, we're in trouble, right? James 1:22, you know, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. No, we have to put it in from our mind to get it right here and then do it. The psalmist has said, and I'm closing here in just a second. He said in Psalm 105, listen to these verbs. It's just verb after verb. He says, give thanks to the Lord. Another verb, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let your hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Enter into his courts with praise. We know that that's speaking of the Jews at the time. They'd go into Jerusalem and they would go into the temple and so forth. And the reason that they would go in there and with thanksgiving is because of the Ark of the Covenant was there. And there, which symbolized the presence of the Shekinah glory of God. But listen, we come in here with the thanksgiving of praise too because we have the real Ark of the Covenant, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can give him praise as well. Listen to me. Thanksgiving is not tomorrow. It's not here yet. You can't praise God tomorrow. You only have this time. You only have this moment, this life. Life is short. Don't be an unthankful people. You know, be thankful. Be good to people. Love people. Don't let the words that come out of your mouth and the meditations of your heart, let it be pleasing unto God. No, you only have today. You only have right now to be thankful. Don't focus on what's wrong. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the now. Oh, but Bill, you don't know. You don't know my husband. No, I don't want to know him either, Noah. You know, be thankful for your crummy husband. You don't know my children. Be thankful for your crummy children. You know, I knew a person one time, they named their two kids Crummy and Dummy, but no, never mind. No, listen. You know, we need to be thankful. Somebody gave me a quote yesterday that says, we're just a bunch of miserable, complaining, unthankful Israelites. Man, Becky Quinn. You know, man, that's what she said to me. I said, I'm not complaining. Have mercy on me. I've been on the road all week. Here I am coming back from Mexico. I didn't even have a fiesta while I was there. No, listen, out of all the people, let us be truly thankful. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That gift is for to you and for me. What was God's indescribable gift? Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave. Jesus, God's indescribable gift to us, his indescribable love, for God so loved, and the indescribable sacrifice of Jesus going to the cross and taking our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Boy, listen, I think about that. The Bible tells us that God, it says, it tells us that God demonstrates his own love. The word demonstrate in the Greek means he proved his own love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were loving our sin, living the way we wanted to, he says, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. He died for you and he died for me. You know, maybe you're listening live right now. Maybe you're in this service. I don't know. But I tell you this, God has given his best for you. His best, his absolute best, Jesus Christ. I mean, his absolute best. The Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up, meaning to the cross, for us all, how will he not with him freely, that means at no cost to you, freely give us all things. Amen. How can we not be the thankful people that God has called us and commanded us to be? God's gave his best. Now listen, I don't know if you know Christ or not, if you're here, I don't know, but I do know this. How long will you run from God? How long will you run from him? Do you know that eternity is only a breath away? That's how close it is. It's just a breath away. I tell you, I would not gamble with my soul. Jesus said, what would a man give for his soul? What would you give? Well, I tell you what, God loves you so much, he gave his own son. Well, you need to come to him at the service when we close out. After we sing, you need to come down here for prayer and say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want Jesus to save me. I'm very thankful. I pray that if you're traveling this week, I pray that you have a wonderful trip. And I pray that you have a wonderful time with your family or your friends or whatever you're doing. Whatever you do, do this. Be thankful. Amen. From my home to yours, I bid you a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this day. Oh, Lord, we give thanks unto your holy name. We give praise to your power, knowing that you are working in us and among us, and you are also for us. You're for us. You're for the ones that used to be a bunch of rebels. You're for us. We give you thanks. And I pray over this congregation, those that are listening live, oh God, I let my request be known unto you, and I do it with thanksgiving in my heart. Bless your people. Surround them, O Lord, with your incredible peace. Guard their hearts and guard their minds, O Lord, and bless them abundantly. Let them not be anxious for anything, O Lord, but let them be a thankful people. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.